You're listening to the Rev Ministries Podcast. This podcast is taken from the Rev Landon Schott sermons from his home church and travels around the world. For more resources or information, please check out our website at therev.com or check out our iTunes store.
If you have your Bibles, turn them to Psalms 31. If you don't, it'll be up on the screen. But Psalms 31 verse 1 says this, "In you, O Lord, I have taken refuge. Let me never be put to shame. Deliver me in your righteousness." The title of this message this morning is Deliverance 2015. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for your word. Lord, we declare your word is the highest authority in our lives. Lord, we declare, let it be a lamp into our feet and a light into our path. So Holy Spirit, we give you this service. We give you this year. We give you our lives. We declare, speak, Lord, your servants listening. Father, I pray that you give us ears to hear, hearts to receive, God, minds to understand, God, what you're saying to us this morning. Jesus, be made famous in this place. We commit the service to you. We love you, King Jesus. And everybody who loves God said amen and amen. Well, I'm excited about today. I'm excited about 2015, and I just want to brag for a second. 2014 was the greatest year of my life, and majority of people are excited about the new year because they're like, all right, finally the old year's over, and we can forget about it and ignore it and never want to remember it again. But I was like Joshua, Lord, don't let the sun go down. Let it remain in the sky. Don't let 2014 end, and it was the greatest year in our life, in our marriage, in our ministry, in our finances. Someone say holla for Jesus. I mean, every area of our life, it was by far the greatest. I never heard God with more clarity. It was amazing by every imagination of the word. And it wasn't by accident. The reason why I believe it was is because the Lord spoke to me at the beginning of the year, and he said 2014 was the year of righteousness. And I grew up in God's house. I got saved at 3 years old. I remember getting a toy out of a little treasure box afterwards. Maybe I was manipulated. I'm not sure, but it stuck. At 12 years old, I was in a fireside room, and we had this praying grandma in the church, and it was like a junior high night, and she taught on the baptism of the Holy Spirit and said, whoever wants to get baptized in the Holy Spirit, come on forward. And I ran up, and I remember just the warmth coming on me, and I began to speak in tongues for the first time and was filled with the baptism of the Holy Spirit. When I was 14 years old, I preached my very first sermon in India at 14. I started preaching full-time at 16. At 18, I was ordained, and I know I still look like I'm 18. I'm 31, actually, and I've been doing this a long time, and so when the Lord said it was the year of righteousness, I was excited because I've grown up in the house of God, and people had commented that my wife and I's ministries are young people that pursue righteousness, and so I was excited about it. And so I went to start studying it. I learned something very quickly, that you could have a revelation, or you could have an awareness or be familiar with something without having the revelation of it. And what I found changed my life, I called it the revelation of righteousness. And I began to study righteousness. And here's what I found. There are over 1,000 scriptures on righteousness. As I began to underline them, every one of them in my Bible in green, it turned into like a camouflage Bible by the time I was done. And what I found was this is righteousness is everywhere. I mean, scriptures that we quote on a daily basis, and we pray, and you know, we make little rainbows and unicorns and put it on Facebook and post it and do all those different things. I mean, righteousness is everywhere, from a breastplate of righteousness that we wear, to Psalms 23, walking the paths of righteousness, to Jesus telling us to hunger and thirst for righteousness. Romans says the kingdom of God is made up of righteousness. Everywhere throughout the word of God, righteousness is a recurring theme, that the righteous won't beg for bread, and the wealth of the wicked is stored up for the righteous. And though you may fall 7 times, the Lord picks up the righteous. It's everywhere. And then what I found is it's not only everywhere, but every time you saw the Bible mention a righteous man or woman, you were about to see a demonstration of God's power, and he's about to wreck something or somewhere. You see a guy like Noah, that when God's going to destroy the earth, he doesn't just choose any man to sustain the humanity, but he finds a righteous man. It wasn't by accident. The Bible says five different times in four different books, four different passages, that Noah was a righteous man, blameless in his generation, and God used him to save this nation. And in fact, that's why we named our son Preston Noah. Heather and I decided we were going to name him Preston Bailey. That was his name all along. And on Pentecostal Sunday, I'm in a church service, and this guy gets done ministering, and he says, "Landon, as your wife's been pregnant with your son, you've been pregnant with righteousness, because God's going to use him like a Noah to bring righteousness to his generation." And when he said that, up in my spirit came, "That's his name." I turned, Heather and I were driving home. I said, "God wants us to name him Preston Noah." And she goes, "Oh my goodness." She goes, "The Lord spoke the very same thing to my heart." Noah, righteousness is what sustained humanity. In fact, we see a man named Abraham, the father of faith, or the father of righteousness. And the Bible says that he was crying out for a sinful city, the city of Sodom and Gomorrah. And I know news commentators would tell you that it was sinful for inhospitality, but it was actually sinful for its grotesque evil and immorality. And so Abraham was crying out for Sodom, and he said, "Lord, would you spare it for 50 righteous? Would you spare it for 40 righteous?" And he's negotiating with God. He said, "Would you spare it?" He got all the way down to 10. "Would you spare it for 10 righteous?" And God said, "I will spare the city for 10 righteous men." Now, I went to Bible college, so I'm not a math wizard, but from what I can tell, the only difference between 50 righteous and 10 righteous is 40 righteous. So I look at God's word and I say, well, if he would spare it for 50 and he would spare it for 10, then I don't know why he stopped at 10, but I would guess that he would spare it for one. Because it doesn't matter, watch, the amount of people, it mattered that there was righteousness in the city or righteousness in the earth. Watch this, church. Some people are wondering, why did I grow up in the dysfunctional mess that I grew up in? Or why am I in this current situation? Or why am I in this job from HELL? And I can't stand it, or I'm the only one saved here. Maybe God's put you strategically in a family or a city or a job or a school just because God needed a righteous vessel to save that place. Righteousness is everywhere. People think that Job was this sad story. I remember in college reading about Job, a story of affliction and oppression, and then, oh yeah, at the very end, you know, he gets double what he had. No. People are telling the story of Job wrong. Job is a story about the black eye to Satan before Jesus gave him the knockout punch. I love saying this. You can't just read the Bible. You have to read the Bible. And what I mean by that is, first, we need to start reading the Bible. Can I get an amen? It's impossible to be a disciple and you don't read the book. It's okay, it's a new year, we'll go again. But once you start reading it, you have to read it, or you have to pay attention, start looking at what God is saying. So in God's word, Satan did not bring Job's name up. God did. Come on, somebody. God said, "Are you tired, Satan, of messing with the faithless, prayerless, givingless people? Have you considered my righteous servant Job? There's no one like him on earth." And then you can't just read the Bible. You got to read this thing. Satan said, I love this. Satan said, "You put a hedge of protection around him, and there's nothing I can do about it." I'm like, hold up, wait a minute. If God's handing out hedges of protection, where do I get one? How many want that on your Christmas list? And I love this. He said, "There's nothing I can do about it." Hear me, church. When you're in the perfect will of God, I don't care what the enemy throws at you. No weapon formed against you shall prosper. Keep reading it. We stop there. This is the heritage of the righteous, because God protects those that live in righteousness. So watch this. God introduces Satan to Job. Do you know that God introduces you to the demons that you have authority over? Acts chapter 19, the seven sons of Sceva were trying to cast out demons in the name of Paul, whom Jesus talked about. The demons talk back. How many know you're in a world of trouble when demons start talking back to you? Come on, I'm not talking about family members. I'm just demons. Okay. And they said, "Jesus," come on, you know the story. "Jesus, we know. Paul, I know. But who are you?" See, They were never introduced to them because righteousness is the introduction to every demon or principality that will come against you. Just like God introduced Job to Satan or Satan to Job, he will introduce you to fear that you have authority over, anxiety that you have authority over, sickness that you have authority over through his righteousness. Not only that, I call it this. I asked the Holy Spirit, I said, there's too much, 1,000 scriptures. How am I going to teach young people? How am I going to teach people? It's too much to get. It's too much to grasp. And the Holy Spirit said, it's the matter of the kingdom of God. Righteousness is the matter. Romans 14 says the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating or drinking, but of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. I remember being in school, and I wasn't that smart. I got by, but I wasn't that smart. And I remember in science class them explaining matter as everything. I'm like, how's matter every? How is this water bottle matter? The preacher's hankies matter, and the screens are. How's everything matter? And they describe it as the substance that everything in the universe is made up of. Church, righteousness is what the kingdom of God is made up of. The Bible talks about being a new creation in Christ, or having heaven's DNA. You get heaven's DNA through righteousness. It's Jesus' DNA. I'll put it like this. How many know the story when Jesus spit in the ground, made mud, put the mud in the man's eyes, right? Well, a lot of time when people share that story, they talk about the mud. And Jesus made mud. But another version says that he just spit. Doesn't even say he made mud. So the focus is really the spit. Now, it's interesting. How many watch those Forensic File murder shows? Heather and I love those. We stay late at night. We'll watch them together and tell you, okay, if I was going to kill you, how would I do it? Well, I would burn you because there'd be no trace evidence. No, they would see the source of the fire. And we'd talk about this stuff because sometimes we're barely saved. But we've been going to City of Grace. God's working on our marriage. We're getting through it. And here's the thing. But you find somebody and they've been walking around free for 20 years and then they find one piece of what? DNA. That's all they need. And they get the chain smoker to smoke a cigarette, or they get him to drink a water. They're in the interview room. They're like, hey, here, have a cup of coffee. You know, and they need that spit. They need that saliva. And from that, watch, they can track the DNA. So watch, Jesus spits in the eyeball. He spits into the dysfunction. He spits into what's broken. He spits into what's not working. And he says, here, it's not spit. He was giving him his DNA. Righteousness is the DNA of heaven. It's absolutely everywhere. So when I travel and minister, and Pastor Terry called me, actually he texted me and he's like, hey, would you preach? I was like, yeah, of course. He's like, all campuses, really? Okay. And 5 times, great, we'll do it all. And so as soon as I started, he texted me, I started asking the Lord, where do you want me to speak to your people at City of Grace? Where do you want to speak at my church? I heard the Holy Spirit speak to me and he said, pick up where you left off. I left off in righteousness. A couple months ago, if you don't do this, you gotta start doing this. On a Saturday morning, I prayed. I said, Lord, speak to me about 2015. What's your heart for 2015? Sunday, I was in Michigan preaching on the authority of righteousness. They marveled at Jesus' authority, but he preached from the same scriptures as the Pharisees. But why'd they marvel at Jesus' authority and they didn't marvel at the authorities? Because Jesus had a relationship with the Father. Righteousness brings you in relationship with the Father that gives you authority. Anyway. So I get done preaching, I sit down, and as soon as I sit down, the Holy Spirit speaks to me and says, 2015 will be a year of deliverance in my people. And my spirit just starts stirring. Monday morning, I'm at the gym trying not to be fat. I'm not there working out, getting buff like him. I just try not to get fat. So I'm just, Lord, help me not be fat. I love food. Help me, Lord. Deliver me from evil. I'm at the gym and I'm just reading. I'm not preparing for a sermon. I'm just doing my daily discipleship, because if you're going to be a disciple, you need to read God's word. And so I just happen to be in Psalms 31. In Psalms 31, put it up on the screen again. Verse 1 is this. It says, "In you, O Lord, I had taken refuge." It says, "Let me never be put to shame. Deliver me in your righteousness." The day before, the Lord said it's going to be a year of deliverance. The moment I read that scripture, the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, righteousness is the foundation for deliverance. My heart started stirring because this is something I feel passionate about. Because we have so many believers that love God and they worship and they give and they serve and they attend and they come to church and they have experiences with God and encounters with God, but they go home and they're still bound. They go home and their addictions still rule their lives. They go home after an awesome service and have one of the biggest blow-up fights with a family member that they've ever had and end up saying things that they didn't mean right after they were in the presence of the Lord. People that really love God with all of their heart, but their flesh still rules and reigns in their life. I believe that deliverance is something that God's people need more than all. And I've been one of those people that have prayed those prayers and say, okay, Lord, this was the last time. I'll never do it again. I'm not gonna, I promise you, 2015 is a new year. And we can use 2015, 16, 17, 18, whatever we want to do. But as long as you're still bound, it doesn't matter what year it is, it's gonna be the same outcome until something happens, until you experience the deliverance of God. Hear me, church, it's not about loving God. Because a lot of us love God, and people in God's word that I'm going to show you love God, but they still were bound until they experienced the deliverance of God. I'm telling you, 2014 was the greatest year of my life, but I believe 2015, we're going to see what Pastor Terry said, an even greater year, because the things that you've been struggling with for years that most likely nobody knows, those things are breaking off your life this year. Those things, and I don't care if you've been serving the Lord for 20 days or 20 years. Every single one of us have some area of unforgiveness, some area of greed, some area of gossip, something that we've carried and something that we've allowed to continue in our lives. And I believe that this is the year that that breaks free. Year of deliverance. What is deliverance? You know, there's 397 different uses of the word deliverance in our Bible. The word deliver is used 86 times. The most common is the word soteria, which means this: to deliver, salvation, welfare, prosperity, preservation, or safety. We get many examples of deliverance all throughout God's word. People were delivered from their enemies in times of struggle. They're delivered from demons and demonic forces. People would meet Jesus and be full of demons, and the demons would recognize Jesus even when people didn't recognize Jesus. And they would be set free. In fact, the Bible says that demons would flee when he even came into the presence, when he came into their cities. Deliverance from sickness all throughout God's word, that people were healed supernaturally of ailments and sickness, from death to bleeding to blindness to physical ailments. There was a deliverance of addictive and abusive behavior and lifestyles all throughout God's word. But out of everything, the thing that stuck out to me the most as I was preparing this and diving into God's word was the meaning of the word deliverance from the word sozo, which is the same meaning as salvation. This stuck out to me so much because the same God that saves by the same power delivers. And that we experience salvation, but nobody tells us that we can be delivered. That year after year, or service after service, or moment after moment, we continue to dedicate things to God or follow God, but things haven't broke off in our lives. And it just began to stir in my spirit that somebody needs to tell God's people that if you've committed your life to the Lord by the same power that he saves you, that same very power, he's going to deliver you. In fact, it stuck out to me so much that even in the Lord's Prayer in Matthew 6, probably the thing that gets the least amount of attention is the simple phrase, "and deliver me from evil." Jesus said this, he said, "And when you pray, this is how you pray." Deliverance is a part of our prayer life. When Jesus is teaching us how to pray, watch, he's teaching us how to experience the deliverance of God. I believe that 2015, this moment, I believe that this Sunday, it begins in your life. I believe that this is the Sunday that you walk out of here and the thing that has tormented and plagued you and kept you bound for weeks, months, or years breaks off. I believe that this is the moment that people that have had secret issues. Carl Lentz just preached about a few weeks ago. The issues is the sin issue, that you've had issues of sin that you're going to experience for the first time in your life or in your adult life or your saved life. True, supernatural, Holy Ghost deliverance in a moment. Put that scripture back up if you would, Psalms 31 verse 1. Let's look at this again. He said, deliver me in your righteousness. A righteous life is the key to deliverance. And I kept reading, I said, let me look at more, because you can't just read the Bible, you have to read it. Guy in the front row is with me, cool. Read the Bible. And if you keep reading it, verse 5, David said, if you could put verse 5 up there, it should be in my notes. David said, I commit my spirit to you. Deliver me in your righteousness. Now this surprised me, because this is a very powerful phrase. David says, I commit to you my spirit. But this is what I love about God's word. You can read a verse 1,000 times, but when you read it on the 1,001st time and the Holy Spirit breathes upon it, it's saying something brand new and fresh. And I said, hold on, honey. David said, I commit to you my spirit. I've heard that phrase before, but I never knew David said it. The only person I realized who said it was Jesus. When he's on the cross, that's the moment that he's saving humanity. That's the moment that the transfer of righteousness is happening, our unrighteousness for his righteousness. In that holy moment, he says to God, into your hands, I commit my spirit. I feel the Holy Ghost in this place this morning. I believe God wants to wreck somebody's life in here. Turn it upside down. I believe that the things, my God. Watch. So Jesus is on the cross. He's saving us. The exchange of righteousness is happening, watch, through a transfer of the Spirit. Now, what's the difference between Jesus saying it and David saying it? Here's why I believe the breakthrough is for somebody. Jesus was never ruled by his flesh. Matthew chapter 4, he goes into the wilderness, led by who? Come on, someone help me preach this morning. Led by the Spirit. The Spirit led him into the wilderness to be tempted by who? The devil or his flesh? All God and all man. So he's being tempted in his flesh, watch, but he doesn't allow his flesh to rule and reign in his life. He's ruled by his spirit. People think that that's the only time he was tempted. That's not the only time he was tempted. Because if we continue and we go in the garden in Matthew 26, Luke 22, or John 18, Jesus in the garden praying, I've been there in the Garden of Gethsemane in Jerusalem on the rock of suffering that they call it, where he's crying out and saying, Father, is there any other way, but not my will, but your will be done? Still in the garden, watch, his flesh is being tempted. But Jesus won't allow his flesh, watch church, to lead him. I was sitting in Nordstrom's and my wife was spending my money. I'm sitting in Nordstrom's, literally, and I do this, I'm a weirdo. I'm sitting in Nordstrom's and I'm praying in the Spirit. Paul says to pray without ceasing. And so I'm praying in the Spirit. I'm sure people think I'm talking to myself or looking for a Bluetooth thing. And I'm just sitting there just kind of just quietly, just in tongue. I'm a weirdo. I do those things. And I'm doing that and I'm praying. I'm like, Lord, speak to me. Speak to me. Show me your words. Show me, why is Jesus saying it? Why did David say it? Give me the revelation of deliverance. And I heard the Lord speak to me in Nordstrom's. The Lord said this to me, and I'm going to say it to you. He said this, deliverance is when your flesh follows your spirit. Somebody's about to have the greatest year you've ever had in your life, because no longer are you going to be ruled by your flesh. Watch this. We negotiate with our flesh. Come on, how many have been one of those people? Hey, pastor, what if I only do this and not that? Am I still going to heaven? Hey, what if I'm in the mall and I walk by Victoria's Secret and I'm not just, I just look twice. I didn't, it was like one eyeball, just halfway. But what if we're looking but not touching? What if we're doing, what if I'm tipsy but I'm not? What if, what, hold on. What if you stop negotiating with your flesh and you crucify it? What if we lay it down before the Lord? What if your flesh no longer ruled and reigned in your life, but you were ruled by your spirit? That's when Jesus said, watch, the spirit is willing, or the spirit is willing, but the flesh must be weak. A weaker flesh means a winning spirit. Zechariah 4:6 says this, it's not by might, it's not by power. What is it by? It's by the Spirit. Hear me, City of Grace. Deliverance is by the Spirit of God. Watch, when Peter was led by the Spirit, he walked on water. When he was led by the flesh, he denied Jesus 3 times. When David was led by the Spirit, he killed lions and bears. When he was led by his flesh, he was impregnating girls and killing their husbands. You know the story of or the whole series that Pastor preached on David. When you are led by your spirit, that's when God leads you into the greatest moments, the greatest seasons, the greatest experiences of your life. When you're led by your flesh, you follow into the darkest moments of your life. This is the year, hear me, church, this is the year that we begin to follow the Spirit of God. This is the year that we're governed by the things of God and the Spirit of God. Here's what I felt the Lord speak to me. It's about to change your family, your city, and our nation. The Lord said, go look at David. So I'm looking at David. And David battles lions and bears that could kill his flesh. And then he gets asked, or in a situation, to fight a giant, someone else's flesh. You can't help deliver anyone else out of something you haven't been delivered of. Watch this. When you start experiencing this supernatural deliverance in your life, that's when you start helping your family experience the same deliverance, your friends experiencing the same deliverance. Watch, our church experiencing the same deliverance, our city experiencing the same deliverance in our nation. When we experience it for ourselves first, Jesus said, I commit my spirit, or I deliver my spirit, or I'm led by my spirit. Deliverance is when your flesh follows your spirit. I believe as the band comes that this is going to be a supernatural year of complete and total deliverance in your life, complete and total freedom. Because watch, when we are led by the Spirit is where we experience freedom. 2 Corinthians 3:17 says this, now the Lord is Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, someone help me, there is freedom. So here's what I feel in my spirit over this year. This is the year that addictions lose their flavor. This is the year perversion has no permission. This is the year that fear bows to faith. This is the year that lust is starved through fasting. This is the year that generosity is greater than greed. This is the year insecurity is evicted because Christ lives in me. This is the year sexual identity will be seen through the eyes of God's word and not through the eyes of man's word. This is the year that grace will not be redefined but reaffirmed. This is the year forgiveness will no longer be optional. This is the year that the flesh is crucified and the King of righteousness will rule and reign in our life. This is the year of deliverance. My wife was a teenage drug addict and alcoholic. She overdosed on OxyContin and she believes was dead. She was not awake for 3 days. They found her foamed at the mouth with so much drugs in her that can kill 3 grown men. She walked out of a hospital and into the presence of God and was delivered. One month later, she met a youth pastor. We fell in love. Ignore that 1 month part, kids. That's not good. We've been traveling the nation. experiencing the power of God everywhere we go. This is your year of deliverance. And he will deliver you in his righteousness. I'm going to ask you to do something bold. It's not that bold, really, but preachers say it's bold. But if you have any area in your life that you need deliverance, stand to your feet and lift your hands to a holy God. Can we just close our eyes and concentrate on the King of Righteousness? But I feel in my spirit that this is the year. I feel it strong that people have been struggling with food addictions of both sides, that you're going to experience deliverance. This is the year some of you have been tormented in fear over money. Money has been God in mammon. In fact, you give and don't give according to money rather than obedience in God's word at times. And it's something that strikes fear in you. This is the year you will experience no fear of money because the righteous will not beg for bread and the wealth of the wicked is stored up for the righteous. I speak it into your spirit. This is the year that you're going to be set free from addiction that have tormented you. I feel in my spirit over 10 years, numerous individuals that you've said, I'm not going to do it anymore. And every year you fall back. This is your year of deliverance. This is the year that you will forgive the impossible person. This is your year. I feel so strong in my spirit, church. There are mothers that have been praying for years for children to commit their life to the Lord. I want to testify, my close family member, I'm just going to say it, my wife's brother was a drug addict months ago. He's going to Bible college next week. This is the year of deliverance. Come on, lift your hands. If you want to accept Jesus into your heart to be your Lord and Savior, offer him your spirit right now. Offer him every part of you right now with all of your heart. Church, say this with me. Say, Jesus, you're my God. Deliver me in your righteousness. I offer you my heart. I offer you my spirit. I offer you my life. Use me for your glory. Deliver me, my King. Last thing I'm saying, I'm out of time and I'm done. Pastor Terry said this, that this is going to be a year of greatness. He spoke it on the video. And here's what God put in my heart as I was right down below. God never delivers you out of anything to not deliver you into something greater. Father, we bless your people. We thank you for your presence. Father, we love you. We exalt you. Come on, put your hands together as we worship
thank you
one more
for
time.
Listening to the
Father,
Rev
we
Ministries
worship
podcast.
You. We declare, Father,
you,
bless
we
your people.
You to share
use
it with
our
a friend.
Lives. We love
for
you,
more
King
information
Jesus.
About this ministry and how you can make a difference by financially supporting us, please visit our website at therev.com. For full-length sermons and episodes on audio or video, please visit us at therev.com or search for us on iTunes.